Now, we recently received a question from a listener, Tyler in Milwaukee, asking,
what is the reason that it looks like all the buildings in Madison are all smaller than the state capitol building?
Thank you for the question, Tyler, and we've lined up two perspectives on this to dig into the answer.
The first stop is the director of Madison's Planning Division. Megan Tuttle helps community members, city officials, and others guide future development and growth in Madison. Megan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So what is your response to this listener question? Is it true that all of Madison's buildings are shorter than the state capitol, or is there different versions of that?
Yeah, this is a great question, and certainly something that anyone moving around Madison these days can probably see pretty clearly with the amount of construction activity that's happening. There is, in fact, a law in the city of Madison related to where and how buildings in the downtown can be developed to help protect important views of the Capitol itself. We have a series of laws that regulate development. This is called zoning. And one of those zoning laws is called the Capitol View Preservation Limit, which says that buildings that are within a mile of the center of the Capitol building cannot exceed the height of the base of those columns. So essentially making sure that dome really remains that prominent feature within our downtown landscape.
And layered on top of that is state statute, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and I'm going to read from state statute. No portion of any building or structure located within 1 mile of the center of the state capitol building may exceed the elevation of 1,032.8 feet above sea level. That is very specific, Megan.
Very specific, yep. And ultimately what it's about is the recognition that the Capitol sits on the highest point on the isthmus downtown. Our city planning has long recognized that that's an important aspect of how downtown was developed, going back to some of the original plans for the city. And we want to make sure that civic building continues to be a distinctive part of the downtown landscape. So really thinking about how it remains a prominent part of what we see both when we're close to it and when we're far from it, such as across the lake at Olin Park or down along East Washington. We have some minor exceptions, mostly for things like the spires of church towers or communications towers, mechanical penthouses, things like that. But really, the vast bulk of the building should be lower than that height limit to ensure that view is preserved. We use things like height limits in our planning efforts to make sure that we're thinking about not only those types of views, but things like transitions between buildings, their location within the downtown, how we make sure that the scale and use of the building will help support some of our redevelopment priorities. But in this case, we're really just looking at sort of an absolute limit to that height.
You mentioned redevelopment priorities. Madison, like many Wisconsin communities, feeling a housing crunch. Is that statute, those restrictions, impacting the housing going up and the apartment construction? Does that push it out to other parts of Madison, or what is the impact?
Ultimately, this view limit, as you mentioned, both in the state statute and in the city zoning laws, applies to the buildings that are the closest to the Capitol. We have more permissive rules for how buildings come together in other parts of the city. We really lean on things like our planning processes to help us determine where housing can go and at what scale, and to make recommendations for how that housing may occur. We certainly see other opportunities to think about this height limit. Like in the past several years, we have thought about ways to allow taller buildings within the downtown that include a portion of housing that is permanently affordable. So we're constantly thinking about how these regulations and our city plans help us meet the need that we're experiencing, which is a great need throughout the city on the whole.
Right, because, you know, you're talking about real estate that you might say is the hottest in the city because it is of its proximity to downtown and to the state capitol. What impact does that have for developers or how we come to view what is permissible in this part of Madison?
We're looking at a couple of areas of the city where we've really been trying to prioritize where growth happens and aligning those zoning laws and other city investments to make sure that we're able to realize both the kind of value of the property where development may occur and to help get it into the locations where it aligns best with things like our transportation system and other infrastructure. So limits like this can sometimes be a push and pull on how we realize where those development priorities and development opportunities really are. In a lot of cases, these height limits are pretty permissive, even though we're trying to really protect that height of the Capitol from a view perspective. But we do know that we have other areas in the city where those heights are not as restricted. And so just trying to balance all of those factors kind of across the city and across the areas where we're trying to support growth to happen.
I would imagine Madison isn't alone here. And you spent years in Burlington, Vermont before this position. Did you encounter these issues before at all? I mean, you know, Burlington's not Montpelier, but have you seen this before?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the question of height limits is an important one when we're talking about planning. It's about how future development happens. It's about how the size and scale of new buildings fit in with the existing context. So this is certainly not a unique question for Madison. The view height limit was not as directly applicable in my work in Burlington, but certainly height limits in general were a major question. How tall should buildings be in downtown was something that was grappled with in a similar way to Madison, you know, really starting with a planning process that set the framework and the vision for how big new buildings should be within the downtown, and then putting that into our zoning laws. And there, ultimately, some important view sheds along major streets down to the lake and to the mountains across the lake were definitely things that we looked at very closely, too.
Megan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
That is Megan Tuttle, director of the City of Madison's Planning Division. She helped us answer a listener-submitted question about why buildings within a mile of the State Capitol building cannot exceed its height. And thanks to Tyler in Milwaukee for sending that in. Now that we know about the restrictions incorporated in both state law and local Madison ordinance, we're going to find out about architectural aesthetics and the state capitol. Anna Andrzejewski is a professor of American art and architecture at UW-Madison. Anna, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Why did lawmakers decades ago think it was important to preserve the view of the Capitol Dome?
Well, it actually has to do with zoning, as I think you've heard earlier. It goes back in Madison to 1966, when, as the story goes, there was a building on campus, Van Hise, that was 14 stories tall and really stood out on campus. And therefore, people in Madison were outraged, or some people were. And then this led basically to the height restriction that no building within a mile could be taller than the Capitol.
How does a state statute and local ordinances like this affect a city's culture and the way people interact, the way people live in a community?
It really does affect things. I mean, our environment does shape us. So when there are restrictions that stipulate, and this is true in almost any neighborhood, that a building can only be a certain number of stories high, it does sort of condition the way that people live. I think probably the best example of this is if you're in a very large city, say a place like New York or Chicago, and you have those really tall buildings. Sometimes you cross the street to go to the other side where the sun is shining. And, you know, it affects the way that you move through the city if it's a cold day and you need to be warm. But it's true in really any neighborhood. It affects, you know, how people come together, how they live, how they interact. And that's really true in any environment.
I would imagine it is a tricky balance in architecture. How do you create that density to make a project, you know, pencil out for developers and for sustainability without, as you mentioned, like casting a shadow over streets or restricting views and open space? Do those tend to be competing goals?
I think that they do historically. And I mean, we can go back to, you know, the early 20th century and in a place like New York City, as I mentioned earlier, there was this real desire once we had the technology, and that was steel frame construction and the elevator. Once we had that technology to build higher and higher, you know, that motivated people, especially when rents were rising in dense urban areas. But at the same time, that pressure to go up and make money and build ever higher really was competing with the fact that people were in these cities and wanted to move through them. In the first decade of the 20th century in New York, it got very, very dark along the city streets because of these tall buildings. And in the 19-teens, New York began stipulating setbacks at the tops of buildings to allow light to actually penetrate into the streets. So yeah, there's always been, I mean, going back, you know, more than 100 years and probably earlier, that tension between wanting density and density really being efficient and also wanting to preserve, you know, things like light and air and having more space, more open space.
And you mentioned steel framing because more stories requires structural changes like, you know, concrete and steel framing. So perhaps the scale of a building project becomes even more costly as you go taller. And there would be potential trade-offs with taller buildings that might not seem so obvious right now in Madison because, you know, this is just how we've lived with these building heights.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, it's, you know, it is really a balancing act in multiple ways. You know, sometimes you build higher and higher and, you know, you don't anticipate things. I think this is, in fact, what happened in places like New York and Chicago before the setback laws went into place. You know, it just seemed logical to build higher and higher, greater stories. But when you do that, you have more bodies moving through the city. So you need more transportation. The light and air problem I mentioned, and one need only think of Chicago and the wind tunnels, you know, that were created through these tall buildings. So, you know, it's one of these interesting things about architecture and planning is that you can plan all you want, and sometimes the consequences are not always foreseen.
But on the flip side, when you're not hemmed in by height restrictions, I wonder, from an architect, does it free up some pent-up creativity that you would not be allowed to have with those height restrictions?
Sure. So I'm reminded of our own Frank Lloyd Wright and his desire to build a mile-high skyscraper at one point, which, of course, would exceed any height restriction anywhere, right? That was never built. So sure, at one level, it constrains, but you know, I think urban areas, and one of the interesting things about them is that they are community spaces. I mean, even though they're, you know, property is privately owned or managed, they are spaces that are used by the public. So the street is a public space. And I think if we remember that and think about that, these decisions really are negotiated between the architect or planner and the community. So it, you know, even though it might constrain one's creativity, the way that I'd like to think about it is that many of these decisions, and this is really the essence of zoning, it really is a product of our democracy because people have a say in what their cities look like.
Anna, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That is Anna Andrzejewski, a professor of American art and architecture at UW-Madison, explaining how city ordinances may affect the culture of a city and how that can impact its growth and development. Earlier, we spoke with Megan Tuttle, the director of the planning division for the city of Madison. She talked about the rules that determine how tall Madison's buildings can be in relation to the state capitol building. This conversation came from an audience question from Tyler in Milwaukee as part of the Wisconsin Project. You can submit your question and we might answer it in a future story. Go to wpr.org/Wisconsin, and that's WHYSconsin.